That menacing music tells us that we are going to be talking about a mystery novel, but we are far from talking to a menacing human being. He's an award-winning former and advertising executive. Marshall Karp is a playwright, a screenwriter, and has written and produced numerous TV shows, like Amen, right?
Yep.
What other show? Amen.
Everything's Relative.
Oh, that's
Working
great.
It Out. A George Clooney a pilot called Baby Talk that he did for about 11 episodes before he got fired. Worked with the greats and the near greats.
Well, here you are.
And here I am at long last.
On the round
You're
table.
You're on my bucket list.
people know him for his wonderful Wilmax and Biggs
and
novels. Absolutely. And then he started collaborating with James Patterson, and the duo has concocted several novels. NYPD Red Alert is the pair's latest collaboration. It is the fifth NYPD Red novel. The two also collaborated on Kill Me If You Can. The book is out today, and it's a thrill to welcome Marshall Karp to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being
here. It's a thrill to be here, and you have another guest.
Yeah, I do. So Selma Kaplan is with us because as I'm you meant the dog.
I'm chopped liver, the dog.
Not the one sitting there, the one under the table.
The one licking my feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm the one under the table.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm on a troop ship. Now, when you have Kylie here. So this is interesting. How long has your beautiful dog, Kylie, been with you?
She's 9, so it's about 8.5 years.
8.5 years. And it is no coincidence, is it, that the lead character in the NYPD Red series is named Kylie?
Oh, my God. I never realized that. And it's no coincidence that the other lead character is named Zach. And ask me what my grandson's name is.
I know the answer to this, but
Joe Donahue. Zach. Yeah.
It is Zach, your grandson.
Cool. Yeah.
And so that all makes sense. So then, not only that, but in the book, you have an assistant district attorney.
Mm.
Your ADA is named
Selma Kaplan.
That's right.
So you are, and boy, I'm telling you, so I was in.
This is better than being a dead body in Law and Order. Which was my heretofore, primary goal in life.
Yes.
I couldn't do it, but this, I've made something of myself.
Her mother is so proud.
My mother is so proud.
As she should be. Now, the thing I noticed, because years ago you used me in one of your Lomax and Biggs novel, and I think I got a page.
Are you going to start measuring?
Oh my God. It's not a competition, Joe.
I know. But you're a major character in this.
She's a very important character. She makes important decisions. She's a big time character. She's the ADA in a critical case.
Now, will she appear again in future?
No.
Oh, okay. Wonder you'll find somebody, some other friend to put in there.
You don't use the same ADA all the time. I knew I wanted to put Selma in the book because enough begging already, right? but I wanted that ADA to have some of that personality. And I wrote this book. I finished writing this book a year ago. So that's how long it takes. So I don't remember what I said about you. But I did kind of channel you, didn't I? A little bit. I made her tough, smart.
You made her tough. You definitely made her tough.
Does she knit?
I don't know if she knit. That's the other time my name was in a book.
People are going to turn off the radio if you go into knitting.
No, I promise.
Talk to Marshall about it.
But now the great thing, here's a question I have for you. Now, so this is with James Patterson, of course. This is the series. There was NYPD Red. There was NYPD Red 2.
Mm-hmm.
NYPD Red 3,
mm-hmm.
NYPD Red 4,
mm-hmm.
and this is NYPD Red Alert.
So no, it's not NYPD Red Alert. It's just Red Alert.
Or Red Alert, and NYPD Red Mystery. So why not number 5? Do we know that, the answer to that question?
I can wing it. No, I think...
what else is new? Go ahead.
No. I spoke to the people at Little Brown and Jim. I think the thought was... And it's a very valid thought. When we created the series, we wanted NYPD Red, 1, 2, 3, 4, because that really branded the series as opposed to, you know, Murder on the Carousel,
A is for
branded.
Alibi, B is for burglar.
Well, that's a brand.
Right.
See, that's a brand. But people start, by the time we got to the book four, NYPD Red 4, people were starting to get a little confused. Did I read 4? Did I read 3? Also, all these books are standalone books in that the characters continue over the arc of the series, but you don't have to read book 1, 2, 3, or 4 to read the new one. So by removing the number 5, it's less intimidating. Episodes of Law and Order, you kind of know at this point. You can tune in to anyone and get a complete meal. So that was the publishing logic behind it.
So
wake up, Joe.
Talk to us about the relationship between you and James Patterson.
I worship the ground he walks on.
Yeah.
No, we have a great relationship.
So what goes? So how do you work? So the question that I'm sure you're most often asked,
yes,
because I think but it's an interesting one, and I think it's probably answered differently by other writing teams. But how do you write a novel with somebody else?
Well, James writes differently with a lot of his other authors.
Right. He has a stable, correct?
Is that what we're called? I thought we were called elves.
Okay.
No, he has a
stable of elves.
He has a contingency of other writers, some of whom are, you know, one shot. He does this or that.
Right.
You know, but it's also some can write the kids' books and some can write the romance books and, you know. And I go back pretty far. I met Jim about 30 years ago in the advertising business, and when he asked me to write the first book with him, Kill Me If You Can, he sent me an outline, which is what he does, like, I don't know, I think now with every writer. He does the outline. And the outlines may be 3,000-4,000 words for a 70,000-word book, but it's here's what happens chapter one, here's what happens chapter, you know. And you know, and so then I take it, flesh it out, and send him the updated outline. Then I start sending him chapters, and he gives me feedback. I don't like where this character is going. So it's not like he writes once and I write upon and he writes a time.
Okay.
It's really that he does outlines. Now, as we developed this series, he started to trust me enough to let, I mean, you know, because I like inventing the stuff, and he got very busy. So he gives me a free hand, but we talk about the book. Certainly in the beginning, we'll talk about Jim. What do you think if this happens? There's two. Usually, is an A plot, a B plot, and a C plot. In this book, in Red Alert, I think I actually have two A plots. The C plot tends to be about the relationship between Kylie and Zach. And as Jim will point out, for a lot of people, especially women readers, that's what they want to know. Are they going to get together? How's the sexual tension going? Usually there's a very exciting murder A plot and a less consequential B plot. But in this case, there are two A plots. And I think the one where Zach and Kylie go off to Thailand and they actually go to a Muay Thai boxing match. You know, if a guy's arrested in Thailand for smuggling drugs, he gets 50 years, and he can box it off. The king knocks 10 years off his sentence if he wins. And Jim had been to a boxing match in Thailand, and he started telling me about it. So there's a lot. He contributes a lot. Now I have to go do the research, and that's fun. There's also an autoerotic sex death in this, and my wife wanted to know how I did that research. So working with Jim is a lot.
We want to know that too, don't we?
Yeah, well, yeah,
not
really
my great character.
At lunch. Bro, yeah. So sorry to ramble, but Jim and I work well together.
Hey,
and I know his brand. I know what his voice, what he wants it to be. And he's great to work with because, I mean, he called me on Sunday. I'm almost finished with the next book, and he called me on Sunday. I said, how's it going? He goes, no, just really good. That was it. That's pretty nice.
That is nice. Can I ask you a question? Soma and I were over at your house over the weekend, and thank you for inviting us.
You were.
And,
I wondered who ate the cookie. No,
and, we were sitting in your office, and what I noticed is there were a lot of phone calls that were coming in, and you were just letting them go to voicemail. Mm-hmm. If you had looked down and saw that James Patterson was one of those calls, would you have taken it?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to know.
I would have kicked you guys right out of Absolutely.
I just wanted to see what the pecking order was there.
No. I have two kids, a wife, a dog, and James Patterson.
Yeah, well.
Any one of them can call me or bark. My wife does often.
Marshall Karp is our guest. The brand new book is Red Alert, an NYPD red
like
mystery.
Red Alert!
Red Alert!
Yeah.
James Patterson, Marshall Karp, and it's out today. I have Kylie's beautiful face in my hands here as your wonderful dog. And Kylie, okay? Everything all right? It seems we have a little bit of a scab here.
Yeah, she's got a little scab on her
ear.
You see, after I saw you on Sunday, I went over to visit a friend in Gardner. He's my friend John. He's had some surgery. And he loves Kylie, so I brought Kylie to the house. And John has this 17-year-old cat. Really nasty. The cat's name, you want to know how nasty the cat is? The cat's name is Fat Bastard.
Am I
allowed to say?
You're fine.
Am I allowed to say?
You're fine. You're good. Okay.
Otherwise, I would say Overweight Bastard. Now the cat is, the cat is on his sofa. Kylie's on, and when all of a sudden, and John goes, I give this cat glucosamine and chondroitin to keep him moving, and all of a sudden the cat springs and like, and then, okay, cut to yesterday morning, I see this thing in Kylie's ear, and I pick it out, and it is a cat claw.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Oh, the whole
and
claw.
The whole claw, and I take a picture, and I send it to John. And John says, hold on to it, and I will let you know where to put it just in case the cat claw fairy comes. So, I hang out with funny people. But, yeah, Kylie's recovering well, and so am I. It's really traumatic when your dog is in a cat fight and she loses.
But here to tell us the tale, so that's good.
That's
good. Are you? I don't know why I didn't ask you this before we went in there. But can we talk about Chris? Was that the guy's name? Who's the cop you use?
Oh, Danny.
Danny.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Corcoran. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's where Danny, the C came. Danny.
Danny Corcoran. He's like, look.
I gotta take better notes.
Yeah. Oh, look. George, it happens.
I may have been drinking when I was at your house. Go ahead.
I think it's really important when you're writing crime fiction to have a really strong ring of truth. And, I spent 3 hours in the Los Angeles County Morgue, so I didn't make up stuff like sliding drawers and glass walls, because really, the day I was there, there was 129 bodies on gurneys, not in bags and not particularly covered up. And it's really good to know what's going on. And when you're writing a police procedural, there's nothing better to have in your life than someone you can call and say, Danny, what happens if this goes on? And he tells you the kind of stuff that cops really do. And I think I get a lot of emails from law enforcement people who love the ring of truth. And Danny and I have become close friends. He's not a writer. He's not writing the book. He's just my consultant. Don't worry, Jim. It's only you and me in case Jim is alone. But Danny's a great dad. He's a great friend. He's an incredible cop. And he's the only person I can text and say, can you talk? And I get a text back like, dead body, floater, I'm at the morgue, stuff like that. So I always text before I call, because he could be in the middle of I've texted him. He's in the middle of a hostage negotiation, and I turn on the TV and there he is. He is so cool.
That is cool. And yeah. You need that for the realism of the books, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. people can see through. I'm looking for a word that starts with bull but doesn't end with anything bad. Bull.
Yeah. Yeah. The novel is Red Alert, an NYPD red mystery. You were talking about a plot and then two A plots and then a C plot. Was there still a B plot then? Or is
well,
it,
no,
or
I,
it,
I, it's
the
usually
A plot sort of comes over?
It's usually, you know, like I think in, I'm not going to go back to Red 4, but no, the two plots, you know where a bomb goes off at the Hotel Pierre, and then we follow why, you know, it's a big charity event. All the NYPD Red, the series is about the rich and famous having their special police force. It's, you know.
Which they really kind of, do. Of sorts?
I don't know if that's fact or fiction, but it's certainly believable that when people high on the pecking order in New York City are victims of a crime, they get a lot of attention from levels of the police that, you know, the average person might not get. That doesn't mean that the police discriminate. I mean, cops care about every family, every criminal. They really give in. But this is the conceit of the book that these people get special attention. And so one is a famous documentarian, and she dies, and you know they have to dig out her story. And the same night, there's an explosion at the Pierre Hotel, and it's a serious, and so that gets their special attention.
I mean, that's what I love about these books is that by page 9, you got a guy splattered all over the cotillion room at the Pierre Hotel.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And it's a bomb, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's set to go off and all the ball bearings and everything and the pieces of the guy all over the place.
By the way, don't scare people off so that it sounds gory. It's actually, I'm a pretty sensitive.
We know you to be sensitive.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you are very sensitive. Thank you. Let me ask you this question. This is something that I think James Patterson does so well, I think that you do so well, and maybe even the genre does so well, is that it does appeal to men and women. It is a general, you when I go on a plane and I see people reading a James Patterson book, it is men and women. It is husband and wife. It is people who are for not a one particular gender novel.
I think the book business would have a lot of trouble if women stopped buying books. And I have to be aware that there are a lot of women readers. And the funny story, which I might have told 6 interviews ago, is like the first sex scene I wrote for Kill Me If You Can, Jim calls me and says, nah, the sex scene isn't working. And it was, you know, without going.
What does that mean?
That's kind of what I think I said, oh, great, you sound like my wife. No, but it was, he said, I wrote the sex scene from a total male point of view. I won't go into the details because that never made it to print. And so now I have to think, like, you know, what's in it for the woman? And I really completely rewrote it so that women would appreciate it.
John Camp, who is the writer whose pseudonym is John Sanford, right, who writes the Prey novels.
Right.
He was on our show a while ago, and he was talking about the difficulty of writing a sex scene in this type of book because, you know, the average chapter is 2, 3, 4 pages, and to get intimate, to get something going there, that it slows it down, where it can bring a book to a complete halt if you allow it.
I don't know how many writers look forward to writing the sex scene. I look forward to writing the chase scene. There's the one I'm writing now. There's a great chase.
There has to be a chase scene. There has to be a sex scene, I assume. I mean, those are ingredients that we expect in these. Not to say it's formulaic, but it is what we expect.
Sex happens. I mean, the first time in my first book, The Rabbit Factory, I didn't know that the sex was going to happen. It was like the one, you know,
felt that way in college.
The one character. The one character. I mean, it just. It's like the characters took over and suddenly they're in bed and I'm sweating. But not really. I didn't plan for them to go to bed together. I planned eventually, but I didn't know. And they, you know, boom. Boy, I hope my wife isn't listening to this, because she's always saying, where are you doing your research, honey?
No, but you, well, but it's, and this is going to sound like the most cliche thing in the world, but the research is the lives that we live, right? What we find in our years.
Right. The research comes from experience. I mean, I could soak up what we're doing right here, right now, and eventually use it in a book because it's real. But I also turn to Google if I want to know, you know. Interesting, there's a great website called Quora.com where people ask questions and answer questions. And I went on Quora and I asked if anybody had been to a Muay Thai fight in Thailand, watching prisoners fight. And I got some guys to write back to me. And then I had a dialogue with them, you know.
Some ever been to a Muay Thai fight? And
I think I've drank a Muay Thai.
Yeah, there you go. Did you save the umbrella?
I may be Muay Thai. I know this woman who is probably the top woman on the World Federation of Boxing, and she got a copy of the book, and she said, oh, if I like this, I'm going to show the King of Thailand. Huh. How many mystery writers can say that?
Not many.
Okay.
Yeah, not many. King of Thailand.
That's pretty cool. Am I driving this interview into a crashing hole?
No.
Okay.
No, and if Thailand had a book fest, you'd probably be invited. Marshall Karp's latest is Red Alert, at NYPD Red Mystery, and you're working on the sixth one.
Yes, and don't forget to mention the website so they could read a bunch
Karp
of pages.
Karp Kills, right?
Spell that?
KARPKILLS, KarpKills.com.
Yeah. James and I are almost finished with Red 6, which I won't give you the title. It's the working title is Red 6, but it'll be Red something else.
and then it'll take where it takes you, right? I mean, you'll...
And then there'll be a next book. Look, Joe, I was in advertising. You did my whole pedigree,
yep,
or whatever you call it, you know. Advertising, show business, television, movie. Did you watch my movie?
Oh, the movie. Oh, my God. The movie is amazing. So you had a movie, 2000. I wrote a movie.
And Jason Alexander directed
Jason Alexander directed it, starring Patti LuPone.
And Gretchen Mol, who was, you know. And anyway, I forget the question, but... this is the final frontier. I think writing these novels has been extremely gratifying. It's when I was 40 years old, I said, 20 years from now, I want to be up in Woodstock writing murder mysteries. And I was at the top of the food chain in the advertising business, but I had a different ladder in my sight, and I wanted to do it. And, you know, here I am.
Was it connected to a barn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. There's so many Easter egg private jokes in this thing that, you know. Cool.
Well, Marshall Karp is one of our dear friends, and we're thrilled that he's with us this morning. Our favorite character in the book definitely is the ADA, Selma Kaplan.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. People should buy it
just for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You two should have a signing at Golden Notebook. Uh-huh. You just sit down, sign the books. That'd be great. I like that idea. I think you should do that. NYPD, Red Alert. And it's out now. It is published by Little Brown
and Karp Kills.
And then KarpKills.com. KarpKills.com. And you can find out all the good stuff. And if you look for a picture of Marshall on the book cover, you won't find it. But there's a good 8x10 of James Patterson there.
By the way, I did say to James, would you take a picture of yourself sitting at your desk with a small picture of me sitting right next to you? And he said, no way, but he said it in three words.
And on that note,
Marshall, you're a dear friend. I love you to death. Thank you very much for being here.
Love you too, Jeff.
Selma, right back to you. Thank you. We'll be back right after this.